Warning, this episode contains adult language, mature situations, a naturally curious teenage girl, a mysterious boy with a weird secret, tons of raunchy sex jokes, manga updates, and coming-of-age stories. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. Listener and viewer discretion is advised. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spark and Manga Review. I'm your host, Zan, saying konnichiwa, aloha, bonjour, and well, what's up? Hope you're good and hope you're excited for another fun-filled episode of this awesome podcast that you can find at www.spyrokin.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, YouTube, and various other social media sites. Just type in S-P-I-R-A-K-N in your search bar and I'll guarantee you find us one way or another. And if you are watching on YouTube or you're checking us out on our website, www.spyrokin.com, remember to like, share, subscribe, click on that bell for notification. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a comment to let us know how we're doing. And with that in mind, let's actually get to it, because if you remember from that last episode, I spun that one that only the Wheel of Manga, and it dictated to be there reviewing a pretty, well, dirty manga. Now, this manga was written by Yo Yoshidamaru and published by Kodansha. It's released over here by Kodansha Comics. It was released in Afternoon KC Magazine back in 2016 to 2019. There are 7 volumes, the series is complete, and it is a coming-of-age erotic comedy romantic comedy. It is a seinen series, and the original title was Ogami-san de Demore Des, or in English it is known simply as Ogami-san Can't Keep It In. This is a story of two kids as they mature and grow up, and many, well, let's get to it, because our main character is Meiko Ogami, and she is a young girl who has, well, feelings. She's just turned 15, she's in school, and she is curious about everything in life, everything unique with life. Things like, for example, how anatomy works, and how people feel, and how guys look, and how they act. Pretty much, she is a very, very horny girl who is obsessed with sex. And unfortunately, because of that, she really can't come out and say it. She had a little bit of a traumatic past because one time she got caught reading something a little more mature than she should have. And from that point, she got a weird nickname and she went with it, but people started making fun of her friends for it. So she kind of shut down. So now she hides the fact that she is someone who is pretty obsessed with sex. And it's a natural occurrence. I mean, it's a natural phenomena. It's just that when you're young and you're a teen, you don't know anything about this stuff. You don't know how things work, if what you're thinking is normal, if it's weird, what are you into? And the fact that she's reading various things is giving her weird ideas and thoughts, and she's confused by this. She doesn't know what to do. She's stressed out about this, and she really just is confused and just trying to figure her way out without letting anyone know, which is really not the best way to do it because she has no friends. She doesn't talk to anybody about this. The only person she could kind of talk to or she bumps into is her classmate, Shinichiro Yaganuma, who is a very shy, pretty boy who doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't have any friends, and he seems kind of odd. But she thinks he's handsome, and she's interested in this guy, but she can't really say anything. He's like, he's a pretty boy. I don't know what his deal is. Maybe he's secretly a freak, or maybe he's a nice guy. But the truth is a little simpler than that. It's he's very shy because of a unique situation and ability that he has. See, one day he's in class, and she's watching him, and it's lunchtime, and this guy says, hey man, don't you leave for lunch? And he's like, no, I eat here all the time. And he's like, well, you should, you know, maybe you'd want to go out. And when the guy touches his shoulder, he says, you should leave because if you move, I can look up Asumi's skirt. And everyone's like, what the fuck did you just say? And they're kind of shocked because he admitted he wants to look up a girl's skirt, and she's horrified. And Ogami's watching this like, what just happened? And everyone's very confused as to why he is thinking about looking up Uzaki's skirt. And eventually we find out the kind of truth is that whenever someone gets into physical contact with Yaganuma, they blurt out the truth. Whatever is on their mind, they will say. Unfortunately, when this first happens with Ogami, she immediately says, show me your wiener. And he's like, yeah, and eventually he explains that ever since he was a little kid, whenever someone touched him, he would hear the truth of what they're thinking. And sometimes that's not really good, especially when someone's pissed off or upset or doesn't want to do things or is in a really bad mood. So because of that, he has become very withdrawn, doesn't talk to anybody. And because of that, they end up realizing they're both outsiders, they're both outcasts, and they'll figure something out and become friends. And it's a great moment of them trying to figure out where they're going, what they're going to do, And eventually this weird friendship starts helping them to both learn more about themselves, but more importantly, they are able to open up, make more friends. I mean, we have the tall, scary guy in class who looks like a Yakuza, who is there and who wants to, you know, make friends, but he can't because he looks scary. And these two weirdos both think he's awesome for different reasons. Like, Ogami is like, you look like that Yakuza film actor. Are there Yakuzas where you're from? He's like, well, I went to school in Hiroshima and I was next to a prison, but I'm not. I'm a nice guy who makes dolls. And they become friends. Because also, Yaganuma was someone who wanted to make toys and make stuff so he can make friends, because he can't really interact with people. So they end up becoming friends in this really weird way. And they end up getting more friends. Like, eventually, Ogami finds out that other girls are just as curious and confused as she is. And she ends up making more friends. Now, this leads to some issues involving misunderstandings and other hijinks, but this is a coming-of-age story of learning about yourself and about life and how you're not the only weirdo who thinks about weird things. This is just normal. We all go through it. And it is a very clever and strange and raunchy story because she goes to very creepy lengths of what she's thinking about. And like with anybody, when you're thinking about dirty things, your brain goes all over the place because, let's be honest, media is super hypersexualized. There's access to tons of stuff online. And if you don't have the conversations about it, you start believing things are true. I mean, a good example would be the live-action film Don John with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's the difference between fantasy and what really is there, and how being obsessed with fantasy, i.e. porn addiction, makes you go kind of crazy. And this is the same thing where it's like misunderstanding and not understanding things and just reading the fantasy skews your vision. And that's what this is about. I mean, there's no sex in this at all, but it's literally just them trying to figure it out, and also all the other hijinks, because literally anyone who touches Yaganuma is going to tell the truth. It could be something as simple as they're in a movie theater and he says something and someone bumps him by accident and they're going to curse him out with this weird thought. It's going to just come out. And eventually this builds into more of a relationship between Ogami and Yaganuma. And it is refreshing to see this because you see them, because they're both outsiders, building up to this. And even though Ogami knows she could tell the truth to Yaganuma, she never really does. There are times where she literally would be like, holds his hand and tells him 100% of the truth, except for the fact that she likes him as more than a friend. She'll tell him everything else, like, I'm really happy that you did this for me. I wasn't embarrassed. I felt I was embarrassing you, and I really like you. And she lets go, like, as a friend. Or they get in a fight, and she's like, well, you should go. You know, I don't want you to leave. But you know what? Maybe, and let's go. Maybe we should break up because of this. It's this dynamic that is very refreshing to see, this very realistic relationship between these two that is well developed, and it is very just, well, it's a fun, different, weird series. It really is. And I gotta say, it gets into some weird elements because this is literally like her obsession with like how sex works and her, all the puns she makes, which are very dirty. It feels a little like Shinomote, where, you know, she kept making dirty jokes, but this is like unintentional dirty jokes. Like, it's just on her mind, and she blurts out, it's like, oh crap, I didn't mean to say that. Anyway, let's move on that. Like, instead of saying dog day afternoon, dong day afternoon, things like that. The art style is well done. This is a seinen series, but everyone has their look that's different. Like I said, the big, scary, bulky guy, who is the Yakuza-like guy who actually likes really nice, cute things, looks like a thug. You have Ogami herself, and she is pretty, and she had a specific design quality, which I did like. Also, Yaganuma looks very, he's not a pretty boy, but he's very kind of pale and very just basic. He's not super pretty. He's just kind of there, but because he's there, he's that. See, he's just kind of basic. He's not super pretty. He's just, but they say he's handsome, so it's kind of weird. Also, yes, there's a different girl touching him and her asking him, how hairy are your armpits? Because this girl is obsessed with armpits because she doesn't understand the concept of why men shave when they go swimming or how that affects swimming and why that's a thing. That's her little kink. But yeah, this is what it is. It is weird and strange and just kind of bizarre. But for that, for all these reasons, I have to give this a borrow from a friend and don't return unless offered Pocky. It is a manga that is very odd and very weird, and it's bizarre with this blabbermouth twist. But it is a great coming-of-age story that does focus on some of the more hard, difficult topics that we talk about. And also, like I said, the difference between misconceptions and reality, and more importantly, learning about them and developing. And the romance between these two is unique because literally she has to tell him the truth whenever he touches her, and essentially he's reading her mind, but she can't read his mind, so there's this whole misconception going on. But I digress. So this is the one I was thinking about. So what about you? What do you think? Did you like, have you ever read this manga before? Are you going to check this manga out? Let me know. You can email me personally at Xan, that's X-A-N, at Spirekin.com. Or you can tweet me at Spirekin or blue sky me at Xan Spirekin. So with that in mind, let's actually get to the manga releases for the week. And these ones are some pretty good ones, some pretty messed up ones, but let's get to the manga release for this week. Starting off with this lovely title, which is Condition Called Love number 7. Just came out. Then we have A Man and His Cat Volume 10. I thought this series was over and done with. It is still going on. Fukumaru is still having adventures with his owner, which is really heartwarming. Then we have Am I Actually the Strongest Volume 6. Arf Feretta From Commonplace to World's Strongest, the manga Volume 12. Before You Discard Me, I Shall Have My Way with You Volume 1. Blue Period Volume 14. Dinosaur Sanctuary Volume 4. Hakuto no Ken, aka Fist of the North Star, Volume 12. Flying Witch, Volume 12. The Great Cleric, Volume 8. How to Build a Dungeon, Book of the Demon King, Volume 8. I'm a Wolf, but My Boss is Sheep, Volume 4. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Part 6, Stone Ocean, Volume 3. Kamen Rider Kuga, Volume 5. Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, Volume 14. The Moon and on a Rainy Day, Volume 4. Ah My Goddess, or Oh My Goddess, Omnibus, Volume 7. Skeleton Knight in Another World, Volume 12. Stitches, this is a novel that is illustrated by Junji Ito, looks kind of interesting. Super Morning Star, Volume 3. Tomahawk Angel, Volume 2. Topu GP, Volume 12. Whisper Me a Love Song, Volume 8. And last and certainly not least, we have Who Made Me a Princess, Volume 5. So these are the manga releases for the week. We've got some fun ones, some weird ones, a couple which are a little confusing, but all these are the unique ones. So which ones are you most excited about, or which ones are you least excited about? For me personally, my top five for the week are going to be Stitches, because it is a new Junji Ito title. Oh My Goddess Omnibus Volume 7, which for those of you who've been listening to the podcast since I started in 2008, I am a huge Oh My Gamasama fan. Belle Dandy's one of my favorite characters, and just the Norns in general. And I love how it's done. It's a very cool series, and Omnibus 7 collects some of the more interesting parts, especially getting more to the Motor Club and some of the more insane things they get involved with. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 6, I've been loving Stone Ocean. I think that Jolene is one of my favorite JoJo's, and I'm loving the stands in this. And this is setting up for the next part, which is essentially a reboot, so I got some good elements in it, but I digress. Then we have Blue Period Volume 14. And last but not least, Amanda's Cat Volume 10. These are the ones I'm most excited about. So let me know the ones that you think are great. You can email me personally, xanspirekin.com, or tweet me at Spirekin. And before we go any further, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for checking out this podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you. Every email I get, every comment I get gives me more motivation to keep doing this podcast. I love doing this, and I'm going to keep doing this until I'm an old man who has to read manga with thick glasses. So thank you so much. If you want to support the podcast, remember to like, share, subscribe. More importantly, definitely check out our other podcasts, and when our Patreon's back up, definitely invest that to help us create more fun content for you to enjoy. But let's get to the part that you have all been waiting for, the most popular part of this manga podcast. And what am I talking about? I am talking about that one, that only, the Wheel of Manga! Yes, friends, a Wheel of Manga, except no substitute. And what is a Wheel of Manga? The Wheel of Manga is a Wheel of Fortune with 10 slots on it. And what I've done is I've assigned a manga title to each of the 10 slots. So we're going to spin the wheel. Whatever number it lands on, that's what we're going to review in the next episode of the Spirekin Manga Review, episode 551. Can you believe it? 551 episodes of this awesome podcast. It's kind of crazy. But let's spin, see what we're going to review the next episode, shall we? And as you saw, I actually started on number 2 to see if I can get something besides 1 and 5. So let's spin and see. It keeps landing on 1. What the hell? Next time, starting on 7. We're going to see if this works. All right, 2 didn't work, so let's go to 3 next time. We're going to see. But in the next episode, I'm going to be reviewing Sora and the House of Monsters, a story about found homes and monsters. So let's see what we're going to review. But anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode. As usual, I am your host, Xan. I am Gonsville. I'll catch you guys next time, and keep reading manga. See you later.